If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
For the first time as a 50-year-old, Tiki Barber, ladies and gentlemen!
Thank you. You're far too kind.
Glad
to be back.
Are you more wrinkly than you were when you left?
I'm not, man. 50 fits me perfectly fine.
Yeah. You look good.
I look exactly the same. What are you talking about? I've been the exact same for a decade and a half.
Yeah, that's right.
He does not age, ladies and gentlemen. We have a very busy show today. The Yankees are on the AM side. So, again, we thank the New York Yankees for splitting the signal. They are currently scoreless with the Detroit Tigers in the top of the fourth inning. The Mets have an afternoon game. They're scoreless in the bottom of the third against the Marlins. We will keep you posted throughout the day. And then, it's kind of fun, when these games go final, we'll be able to provide instant reaction to the finale of these series. The Yankees are trying to avoid being swept by the Tigers. The Mets are trying to continue their winning ways and sweep the Miami Marlins. I was either going to be a really bad guy today, or I was going to be the voice of reason today. And it was all going to be determined by what happened last night at Madison Square Garden. Because I cannot be any more consistent than what I have said over and over and over again, which is last night's game, wild, wildly entertaining and fun to watch, means nothing. So if the Knicks would have won or had a moral victory, I'd be the bad guy by saying, hey, it doesn't mean anything. If the Knicks lost by 70, I'd be the good guy by saying, hey, don't worry, guys, it doesn't mean anything. I am stunned by the collective voice of Knicks fans. Tommy had it. My good friend Alex B. had it on social. Sal Licata had it. Greg Giannotti had to a T. It's almost like Knicks fans had a meeting last night and said, here's what we're going to say. And what we're going to say is, hey, I'm encouraged. What? What could you possibly be encouraged or even discouraged by? You lost to the Celtics. Jaylen Brown didn't play in the fourth quarter. You didn't win. You didn't really lose anything. Nothing happened.
Nothing mattered. Tommy, did you have a Lugauer yesterday?
I did.
Did you set people up to be encouraged no matter what happens as long as it's a close game?
Not on the Lugauer, but on the tail end of our show yesterday, I did.
Well, there you go. Tommy's the voice of the Knicks fan. And yeah, that's what's happening.
And he is, because everyone is, again, like they had a meeting last night collectively to say, hey, that was encouraging. I feel good. We proved we can hang. And I just don't see it.
I think it's a hangover from last year. So last year, when the Knicks were really good, they were gritty, they were tough, even though they sustained a ton of injuries down the stretch and into the postseason, they were finding ways to be really competitive. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh man, if we just get our best effort against some of these teams that are supposed to beat us, a la the Boston Celtics, then we have a chance to beat them come the postseason, mm-hmm. right? That happened in the regular season.
Yeah.
Remember this? The Celtics were actually trying to win this game. I think it feels the same for the Knicks this year, even though the circumstances are vastly different this year than they were from a year ago.
Watching last night's game, because I did watch it, and it was fun to watch because it was a really competitive basketball game, and there were a lot of little things that we can break down. There were actually more things that would worry me if I'm a New York Knicks fan. And I'll tell you where it starts, and I'll tell you where it ends. The head coach. Tom Thibodeau, to win a best-of-seven series against the Boston Celtics, is going to have to be perfect. He's going to have to be perfect because the Celtics are an incredibly talented team. They are a well-oiled machine. Even without Jaylen Brown in the fourth quarter of this game, they are so prepared. They are so fundamentally sound. They are so smart. They don't let little things, little tiny things cost them. And if the Knicks are going to beat the Celtics in a best-of-seven series, they're going to have to do everything perfect. And there were four things last night that concern me. And I'm going to start with number one. That may surprise you what number one is. Josh Hart can't be on the floor on the final possession. Mm. And then he is on the final floor in the final possession, and he's taking the final shot.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Deuce McBride needs to be on the floor. Deuce McBride needs to be on the floor more. And so when we all wonder, can the Knicks beat the Celtics? Talent-wise, they're not as good, but coaching-wise, they're not as good. Because Tom Thibodeau continues to not make the simple adjustments that he's going to need to make in a best-of-seven series against Boston. And Josh Hart being on the floor and taking that final shot, inexcusable.
Well, if it's the right shot, you kind of have to trust the guy. The problem is he hasn't been shooting well, and he hasn't been as confident shooting the three-pointer as he was a year ago. I think the Tom Thibodeau that we see is a Tom Thibodeau that trusts his players. He trusts his stars. He trusts those guys that he's giving 40-plus minutes to every night. And in a critical moment, you can't do anything but trust the guy that you've spent so many days and moments trusting. That's what that comes down to. Now, is it smart all the time? Of course not. You're actually right. But can you tell somebody?
Actually right.
Yes. Now, you are actually probably right. But whatever.
Right.
Let's say you're right.
Right.
You can't change Tom Thibodeau from being Tom Thibodeau.
Then you're not being the Celtics.
He's just not going to trust someone who he has a little less faith in for whatever reason.
If he doesn't trust Deuce McBride playing big minutes against the Celtics, you're not beating him. Like, there are going to be a lot of things that have to happen. See, here's where I'll be positive with Knicks fans. Mm. I'm not a believer that you just give up and say you can't beat this team. I'm laying out the law, which is things are going to have to be perfect. You're going to have to do a lot of really smart things, and your head coach is going to have to step up his game. And one of those things is going to have to be trusting Deuce McBride. One of those things is going to be not having Josh Hart on the floor in the final few seconds of the game. You know, and then when you talk about trusting your own players, we're all going to talk about OG not fouling up three.
Mm-hmm.
How about Karl-Anthony Towns fouling Jason Tatum on a three-point shot?
Yeah.
And you got lucky that he missed the third free throw. That crap can't happen.
Right.
They have to be smarter than that. So, again, I want to make it clear because I'm kind of toeing the line here. I think losing last night's game is not that big of a deal. I've made it clear. But if we're looking for signs, if that's the game we're going to play on April 9th because the playoffs haven't started yet, and we're going to say, oh, I feel good or I feel bad, I'd feel bad because those little things cannot happen. And yes, OG fouling up three. Look, for a long time as a basketball fan, I hated fouling up three. You can go on social media, you'll find a million of them. I hate fouling up three. I hate fouling up three. I hate fouling up three. And then the sport changed. So I changed. You have to foul up three. And OG Anunoby has to know, get your arms around him before he gets a shot off.
Yes.
Don't be afraid that he's going to get one off. And make the Celtics have to do something wacky to beat you. Those little things will cost you, and it cost them last night. You do those things smartly, you win.
Yeah, I think the other thing with Tibbs, you know, in that regard, is that he's not communicating those things. Right? It's funny because this came up in one of the NCAA tournament games. They were up two or three. They were up three, and the other team was inbounding. Just foul them.
Right.
Right? Don't give them a chance to take a half-court shot that might go in. Just foul them. Make them take two shots and then really have to get creative on the opposing inbound. If you miss or make, it doesn't matter. The same thing occurs in the NBA. If you're up three, foul the other team. Right? And so the challenge with coaching in real time.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here.
Shop Early Access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Time is that you assume, and again, this comes back to trust, that your guys on the court, these guys that you are trusting, know what to do in those situations.
OG should know.
Of course he should know, but it never hurts to tell him again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I guess
it's like the defensive lineman who on fourth and inch, whatever it is, and they're getting dummied, stay on sides. Don't jump. Inevitably, one guy gets fooled by the hard count and jumps off sides. It's the same thing with this Knicks basketball team, and it's not faulting anybody. It's just you have to, as a coach, when you have a veteran team, put trust in those guys to do the right thing in the right moments, and sometimes they don't. And that's where the Knicks fell short last night. Again, you're right, Evan. It doesn't matter.
It's not.
The game doesn't mean that much.
It's not last night. It's not losing. It's in general. And I think I will speak to many Knicks fans who will agree with this statement. I don't trust Tom Thibodeau in a big spot. I don't trust Tom Thibodeau, and I'll get more specific. I don't trust Tom Thibodeau in a series in which he needs to out-coach the opposing head coach. And in a series against Boston, assuming there aren't catastrophic injuries, and by the way, there could be, Jaylen Brown's dealing with a bad knee right now. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that Jaylen Brown being compromised lowers the difference between the Knicks and the Celtics. I think Boston can still beat you, but there's no doubt it lowers the difference in talent between the Knicks and the Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis has been a walking injury his entire NBA career. So by the time we get to Knicks-Celtics, the face of this series can look very different. I'd be the first to acknowledge it. But ultimately, you're going to need to be perfect to beat the Celtics. Not once, not keep it close where we can raise a banner and say we proved we can hang. No, beat them 4 out of 7. That's the goal. And to do that, in my opinion, you need Tom Thibodeau to outcoach Joe Mazzulla. And I look at Tom Thibodeau's playoff history, and I see 5 series in which they've been the underdog. You know, the team that's going on the road, the team with the higher seed or lower seed, however you want to define it. And he's only won 2 of those series. One was against the gutless Brooklyn Nets led by Darren Williams and Brooke Lopez and Joe Johnson in 2013. Tron and I will agree. That doesn't even count.
No, that was a decade plus ago.
Exactly. That's example number one, and none of us count it because that Net team was disgusting. The second example was actually Cleveland a couple of years ago, and I think we'd all agree that Cleveland was learning. Can Tom Thibodeau outcoach Joe Mazzulla? Can Tom Thibodeau lead the Knicks past an ultra-talented team like the Boston Celtics? If you're looking for signs on a Tuesday night regular season game, your answer last night was absolutely not. With that said, Tommy represents a lot of Knicks fans who want to raise a banner for last night and say, hey, we proved we can hang. What am I missing?
Well, you missed one other thing there that I will criticize, and that is, and it made the rounds, obviously, it was viral on social media. Karl-Anthony Towns cannot pass the ball in that spot at the end of the game. At the end of
You're not going to blame Mikal Bridges?
No. How about Karl-Anthony Towns takes the ball to the basket instead of passing the ball in the corner to Bridges? And Cat played great. It was probably arguably his best game as a Knick. In that spot, be aggressive, take KP off the dribble, and get your shot off. And if not, then kick it to somebody open. Don't immediately catch it and then look to pass it.
Yeah, you can't pass it to Mikal Bridges. You can't trust him to hold on to a basketball with 8 seconds to go.
I would foul up 3 for sure. I would have Hart on the floor, but maybe have him as the inbounder. I don't want him taking the last shot, not when you have those type of talent on the floor. But
yeah, what are you encouraged by?
That's all I'm asking. The challenge with Josh is you don't know if he wants to take the shot.
Well, he just shouldn't be taking that shot.
He should be on the floor.
When you have Brunson, when you have Cat, when you have Bridges, when you have Anunoby, who's been playing out of his mind, he just shouldn't be catching the ball.
Or even if Deuce McBride is out there.
But even Deuce, when you have Jaylen Brown and, excuse me, you have Jaylen Brunson.
No, I'm merely saying that I'd rather have him take that shot than Josh Hart should not have been on the floor in the final few seconds. But all that's proving is what I'm getting at. You're one of the many Knicks fans who said you felt encouraged by last night. What am I missing?
Yeah, what exactly are you encouraged by?
Because so far, all you've done is agree with me.
No, because I'm bringing up the fact that they didn't execute at the end of the game, but they hung with the Celtics. I don't care if Brown only played 22 minutes. That's nothing to me. How about when the Celtics blew us out and we didn't have players on the floor? So there hasn't really been one game all year where both sides have been fully healthy. So if you don't want to play a player or you're laying your sword down because he's got a bum knee, that's not my problem. Whoever's on the floor is on the floor. They stayed with him to the end of the game. They should have won the game. If they fouled up 3, they likely would have won the game. So I take encouragement from that. In these last couple games against elite teams, I at least want to see them hang with them. I said that about the Cavs game. I'll say it about the upcoming Cavs game, and I'll say it about last night. They didn't get their doors blown off by the Celtics. They hung in the game, and if they had executed down the stretch in OT and at the end of the game, they would have won.
That was the most discouraging defense I've ever heard. I'm actually depressed for you. That's your defense? Well, we didn't get blown out.
Okay.
I mean, bro, the Celtics are going through the motions. They've got 3 games left in the season.
Now they're going through the motions.
They don't care. You think they cared about last night?
So if we get blown out by 50, what's the narrative, Teak? That the Knicks can't hang with them? They get blown out by
that's been the narrative all year long. Has it not been?
Right.
Whether it's Cleveland, whether it's OKC, whether it's the Celtics, they get blown out. So one outlier to what you've seen all season long is now encouraging, I think, to Knicks fans. And I think because of what happened at the end of last season, where you played tight against the Celtics and you felt like, man, this Knicks team, if they just can find some health and get it all together, even if they don't have health, they're so gritty. And this team, by the way, doesn't feel as gritty as that team a year ago. But nonetheless, if they can get it figured out at the right time, then anybody can make a run. The challenge in basketball, though, is that that's not necessarily true. Right? It sounds good. You can say it in football. You can say it in NCAA basketball. You can't say it in the NBA. The best team, who is the deeper team, the better coach team, generally finds ways to come through, especially in 5-7
series. And here's the problem I'm running into. They're not as talented as Boston, and they're not as well coached. So I don't know. Like, hey, you never know. Things can change, obviously. Best of seven series. Maybe Porzingis is hurt. Things can change. Things are wild. Things are crazy. Maybe somebody gets upset. Who the hell knows? But I don't know, and you didn't answer it. Maybe you can find it at some point. You didn't answer why anything from last night would have changed how you felt about this.
Because
they kept the game close,
yes,
in the NBA?
What do you
mean? That encouraged
against
you?
Against a team that has blown them out all season long, and they were right there at the end, and if they executed, they would have won a game. How many people went into last night thinking the Celtics would sweep the Knicks in the playoffs now coming off that game? You can't feel that way.
Come on, bro.
What do you
mean? This is sad.
How is it sad?
What would have happened if the Knicks had won last night?
Oh,
would you have been ecstatic? Would you have been like, what was the reaction?
They proved they can beat the Celtics. And if they got blown out by 50, I would have said, it's sobering, this sucks. And they have not proven once this season that they can hang with any of the elite teams.
You use the word sobering. And again, last night's game, end of the day, what the hell does it really mean? I think last night was probably more sobering than the blowouts because you had them. You had them beat. And Jaylen Brown wasn't on the floor. And you had them beat. And you still didn't beat them. And there were all these little things we're talking about that contributed to that. So I would use your word sobering to describe last night more than any other
night.
But
it's a learning experience. No, I'm serious.
Are you a kindergarten teacher?
I'll tie it into Duke this year. Duke didn't play any close games. When they got a close game in Houston, they basically wet themselves. They had no idea what to do. The Knicks needed to play a close game against the Celtics to figure out how to beat them. Didn't happen last night. I could use that as the mulligan, so when it happens in the playoffs and they get in a tight game, they'll foul up three. They'll execute better. Cat could take the ball aggressively.
Right now.
Learn how to beat them. Sometimes you have to get this close,
okay,
and then you learn how to win.
Right now, on April 9th at 2:16 p.m., you're done with the Celtics. You've played your regular seasons against them. We're entering the postseason in 2 short weeks. I can't wait. We're all very, very excited to it finally start. Actually, less than 2 weeks. It's a week and a half. It's going to start over next weekend.
Right.
If the Knicks and Celtics are lucky enough to face each other in an Eastern Conference semifinals, right now on April 9th, Tommy Lugauer, how will that series go?
Celtics in six.
Okay, Celtics in six. Okay, thank you very much. We'll come back and get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Plus, I thought it was really interesting to hear what the Celtics had to say after last night's close victory over the New York Knicks. We'll get to that. We got a lot of football to get to. We'll keep you posted on the Mets and the Yankees. We'll recap their games as soon as they're done. So a very, very busy afternoon with the newly crowned 50-year-old back in the building, Tiki Barber, on another new edition of Evan and Tiki. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Currently, the Yankees on the AM side are in a scoreless game with the Detroit Tigers as they head to the bottom of the fifth inning. Mets and the Marlins doing the same. The Yankees and Tigers are scoreless. That game is on the AM side. Tyler McGill got chased in the fifth inning, and the Marlins are threatening, and they have already taken a 1-0 lead on the Metsies, who are still looking for their first base hit of the game. So we'll get to all that as the show rolls on. But last night, when the Celtics defeated the New York Knicks, and some Knicks fans looked at it as a moral victory, I was curious what the Celtics would say, considering they've had this incredible regular season. They are the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, locked up into that. What would the players say about sweeping the New York Knicks? Because I think this rivalry is more one-sided, like we in New York want to beat the Celtics. I don't think anybody in Boston cares about the Knicks, unfortunately. That may change in a few weeks, but as of right now, I don't know how much they care. So first, let's hear from Derek White. Derek White, you beat the Knicks every single time. How's that work for you?
Knowing that if you swept the Knicks in this season series, you could face them in the second round. Does that give you confidence going in?
It means absolutely nothing.
It means absolutely nothing, okay? Jason Tatum, who put on quite a show last night. Jason, beat the Knicks 4 times. What does it mean to you?
Not at all. My playoffs is a different animal. You know, regardless of whatever happened to regular season, it goes out the window when the playoffs start.
Completely agree. Out the window means nothing. How about Joe Mazzulla, who always gives you interesting quotes after games? Joe, you beat the Knicks 4 times. What does that mean for you?
It means nothing. If anything, it's more dangerous for us thinking, one, that like, we're going to get to the second round. We may not get there.
I love that guy.
He's so, like, out the left field with his remarks.
He is.
He's going to say anything that other than what you expect him to
say. Of course he is. He's like, listen, the Magic could upset us. What the hell do we know?
We might not make it.
What?
The hell?
Sports is a funny thing. You never know, but there's nothing in the NBA playoffs. Literally. If you ask me anything that could happen in the first round, what would surprise you the most?
The Celtics losing to
Losing to the Magic or the Hawks in the first round would surprise me the most. It would surprise me more than even Oklahoma City getting picked off. You name the thing. Cleveland, doesn't matter. The Celtics getting knocked off. Because they are, it doesn't matter what their record is. They're 59-20, so they're very likely to have another 60-win season. Despite the Cavs having a better record, despite the Thunder having a better record, I think we all agree they are clearly the team to beat.
Well, especially if Kristaps Porzingis is going to play like he played last night.
And hit logo threes?
Yeah, I mean, that notwithstanding, he still had, what, 30, whatever, 33? 30,
eight 30, threes, 34, 35.
Whatever it is. He missed a lot of the season, and they were still just kind of cruising. Now, if he's healthy, and is Kristaps from healthy the season a year ago when they won a championship, who's beating them? I mean, it's
tough to imagine anyone's right. going to beat them. I will make you this prediction before we get to your calls. I do believe the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics will meet in the second round of the postseason. That seems like it's likely, barring any upsets. I believe when we get there, and I'm not sure if it's going to be to Boston or the Knicks, there will be a major injury that's going to change the landscape of that series. So what we say today on April 9th, I think is thrown out the window in 3 weeks because somebody, maybe it's Jaylen Brown not playing. Maybe it's Kristaps Porzingis who's often injured. Maybe it's something with the Knicks, right? I don't know. But I do feel when we're sitting here breaking down Knicks-Celtics second round, I think the look of this series is going to be completely different. So we'll see if I'm right. And we'll see if Lugie's right, because he just predicted Boston Celtics in six. That was his prediction few minutes ago.
I was damned if I do, damned if I don't in that spot.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
It's a prediction.
No,
if you had to give your homer pick, what would you say?
The Knicks are going to sweep him. So he'd hold that over my head.
You know, that's not real. The only homer pick that makes sense is Knicks grit in seven. They get it in seven.
What I don't understand about
you. Figure it out.
What I don't understand is when we make predictions, like whenever we do a Met prediction, you're always over the top positive. You're positive Tommy.
Positive Tommy like leads the Mets. Yes.
Predicted them to win 120 games. I mean, despite their great pace right now, that's likely not going to happen. You predicted Sean Manaea to come back like in 5 days, even though that's not going to happen. Yet with the Knicks, you need to be realistic. Maybe you need to bring the positive carbon to the Knicks.
No, because you're out to get me with the Knicks. You're on my side with the Mets. You're not trying to twist me into a pretzel and catch me in a prediction that's not going to go accurately. You want positive Tommy to be right in the Knicks thing. Because I already had him in the Eastern Conference Finals a week ago.
You want positive Tommy on that mic. You need positive Tommy on that mic.
Exactly.
I just want you to be honest. That's all I am.
No, but I gave my prediction about a month ago, and you said, okay. You wrote it down.
I wrote it down.
So then what the heck are you asking me again for?
Because the beautiful part about predictions, and this is why I write it down and we save them, is to watch the evolution. Do you remember at the beginning of the football season, we did the same thing? Like, as the preseason began, I said, Teague, Sean, Lugie, your Giant picks. And you all had numbers. We got to right as the season was starting, we were sitting at MetLife Stadium. I said, okay, now we're here. What's your prediction? And you saw an evolution. Sometimes that happens. I find that fascinating. We all evolve. I evolved too.
All right, fine. I evolved in the last 6 minutes. The Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Write that one down.
We'll see if that ages as well as Sean saying the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup.
I need this Tommy as Jack Nicklaus in A Few Good Men.
You're damn right I off the sweep. You're damn right. You need me. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Sharif is in Staten Island. How you doing today, Sharif?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
It's three things. One, OG.
Yeah.
Why are you getting faked out by the dribble? If he's going to go to the basket, let him go to the basket.
Yep.
You should be on top of him. You shouldn't be leaning to the left. You should be on top of him. Two, they should be double teaming him. Three, when you were talking, you guys were just talking about the coach. I want to see what he does in the next three games and see what kind of limitation he does to the players so they'll be fresh for the playoffs if he does the same dumb things. And four, I said three, but four. He's the definition of a fan, which is a fanatic. He does the same thing over and over for years and years, and people keep hiring him. He keeps on burning these guys out, and that's what's going to be the downfall for the Knicks again. Somebody's OG's going to pull a hamstring. Yeah. Something's going to happen, and all because of the coach.
But Sharif, the problem is he's a good coach. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He makes players better, and you've seen this almost every year. from guys that are there before he got there to or guys that he brought in. He makes players better than when he before he was the coach. Now, he wears on them and he grinds on them. It's very old school, and I think that's the frustrating part because they don't seem to last.
Mm.
And so if there was one adjustment that he should make, it's just figure out how to get your guys some rest.
So the rest question, because the New York Knicks do have three games left, and I'm curious where you would stand on what to do in these three games. Tomorrow night, they have what is, I think, likely to be a first-round preview against the Detroit Pistons. Mm-hmm. It is very likely that the Knicks are going to face the Pistons. Just so you know, a little background, for the Knicks not to be the three seed, they would have to lose their final three, and Indiana would have to win their final three. And for the Pistons to not be the six, they would have to sweep a two-game series they're about to have against the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's very unlikely that we are seeing the New York Knicks against the Pistons. They play on Thursday. Tommy, are you okay with saying this game does not matter and I'm going to rest my guys, or are you looking to build on something going into the postseason?
No, not in situations like that. The only games that I cared about here as far as building to the playoffs was Cavs, Celtics, the elite team.
Well, that's perfect. The next night, at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Second to last game of the year. I think they call that the penultimate game of the season. Are you going to have to play your guys big minutes because you need to prove something?
Yes, 100%. Okay. All hands on deck.
And then we'd all agree Sunday against the Nets. Who gives a crap?
Yeah, glorified preseason.
Yes. I'll be there, but I mean, what does it mean? The one thing I hesitate on about rest and how important it is, because of this new world we live in with the NBA in-season tournament, not in-season tournament, the play-in tournament.
Right.
I get their tournaments confused. The Knicks will not play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The soonest their first playoff game would be Saturday, and it could be Sunday. So the guys are going to get plenty of rest
leading up
going into the playoffs.
Well, I think the issue is not rest getting into the playoffs. It's getting through the regular season healthy. And so far, it's at least with three games remaining, it seems like they're going to be okay and healthy.
Yeah, but nothing better happen in these three games,
by the
way.
That's what I mean. Like,
if it does, then Tom Thibodeau's going to really hear
assume it. Assume that Indiana can't catch you and don't play anybody.
Jack is calling from Lakewood. How are you, Jack?
How you doing? First time caller, long time listener. What Tiki was saying before about Tom Thibodeau, he makes better players, but he doesn't make better plays.
Mm. Yes. No, you're right about that.
He makes players better, but he doesn't make players.
But Jack, here's what I think happens is that Tom trusts his players to do the right thing in all moments.
Mm.
And so you don't see him necessarily coaching like you see him other coaches. Like,
right.
This is what we need to do. You see him out on the court, demonstrative. He just stands there with his arms folded and just kind of staring at what's going on. Every now and then he'll get emotive, but like, I think he trusts his veterans. He trusts his leader, in this case, Jalen Brunson, primarily, to make the right situations right for their team. And the problem is, sometimes you just got to be reminded, right? Sometimes you just got to be coached
a little bit. Case of OG Anunoby, he should have been reminded.
Just, hey, just don't foul here.
Yeah, or should foul here.
Or it should foul
here. And you got to be smart to make sure you're not doing it as Tatum's getting a three up. Look, two egregious things happened in the final minute of the game.
Yes.
Karl Anthony Towns committed that foul versus Jason Tatum, which gave him three free throws, and then not fouling him up three, which has been something we've seen affect the Knicks before. Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Evan. Hey, guys. How's it going?
All's good, Mike.
With the Knicks, I think this is really more of a Leon Rose issue. They traded pieces away. Their starters are better. And if you want to think about the Knicks for a second, I would say they had a ho-hum year. And in a ho-hum year, they easily won 50 games. I don't think it was that much of a struggle. The thing with last year's team is their bench elevated the whole team. This year, their bench is so weak. So we're looking now at the offseason. Leon Rose has to find a way to bring the bench back.
Here's the problem. Your point is all fair. We can't talk about the offseason. Mm. I won't allow Knicks fans to do that to themselves because you're about to be in the postseason. You're about to be there for a third straight year. You're about to go to the first round of the NBA playoffs with home court advantage. Like, you can't be overanalyzing, well, you know, we could get this guy or that guy. That's for when the season's over. Like, you have a chore right in front of you. And in a couple of days, we're going to know officially who that first-round opponent is. And we're going to break down Cade Cunningham. And we're going to analyze, hey, remember J.B. Bickerstaff in the Cleveland series? Well, now he's coaching the Pistons. don't worry about the offseason yet. It's not that our last caller's points are wrong about the way the team is built or what changes may need to be made during the offseason, but you're about to go to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that and the chore ahead of you and not the chore ahead of the offseason.
That's more important. What's going to happen now? Who cares what you're going to try to figure out in the offseason? I'm sure there'll be more moves and try to make this team better, but right now it doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Can't do anything now. Just play. Josh in Poughkeepsie. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Oh, Tiki, good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hope you had a good vacation.
Absolutely.
I've been one of the biggest Tom Thibodeau defenders for the longest time, but I'm sorry. If you got teams like Denver who just won a championship 2 years ago firing people like Mike Malone because, and whatever the rumors are, they haven't been defensively minded, whatever, for the whole year, you can't keep Tibbs. I'm sorry. I mean, the big moment he crushes himself in, and he loses to the other team's coach every single time.
The decision is, go ahead.
His decision making is just horrible sometimes. And I agree with Tiki that OG needs to be told in that moment. But you're one of the best defenders in the league. You have to know that situational awareness. And
I agree.
Have to make that. You have to take that foul. Well,
by the way, Josh, that's what Tibbs does. He trusts. He knows that he's supposed to do that.
Which is why it's probably just on OG Anunoby more than that particular moment is on Tom Thibodeau.
But you still, I was in locker rooms and on sidelines for a long time. You always got reminded, man.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, he may have been reminded. He may have just not felt like there was that right moment to wrap up Tatum and do it. And falling for the shot fake is inexcusable. Because, at the end of the day, him taking a three, attempting a three, is the worst case scenario.
Yes.
Because he can tie the game like we saw.
Right.
Him driving past you, fine.
Just let him go.
That's fine.
Let him go. Figure out how to get the ball in bounds and win the game.
Now, sometimes that's an issue for the Knicks, too, as we saw last night.
Very true.
Let's go to Lou in Astoria. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Take a happy belated 50, okay?
You
look better than wine.
I appreciate you.
You're terrific, okay?
Trying my best.
Keep up the good work. And last night's game, okay? This is the way I look at it. You cannot blame the coach last night because one of my favorite Knicks player and Josh Hart, okay, missed 4 free throws in a row. Plus after that, he made 2 turnovers that killed the game. And what KP did last night, okay, that was incredible. He was like Superman. I mean, actually, by having that guy injured, that Greg, what's his name, that guard?
Jaylen Brown.
That was in the bench.
Jaylen Brown.
KP produced incredibly, okay? I think that the Knicks right now, you know what? They in their mind right now, they know they can play against the Celtics. I agree with Tommy. They're going to be at least close to it.
Here's the good news and the bad news, Lou, is I disagree. I think the Celtics are much better than the New York Knicks on a lot of levels. But here's, I guess, the good news in relation to that. I think the Celtics are the best team on the planet. I don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be able to stick with the Boston Celtics. I don't believe the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be able to stick with the Boston Celtics. So understand that when we have this conversation about Knicks Celtics, at least in my mind, maybe my flawed mind, we are comparing the Knicks to the best team in the NBA, to a team that's been concocted, in my opinion, in almost a perfect fashion.
Right.
When you look at the way this team is built with Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis and Jason Tatum as that elite killer like we saw last night and a hell of a coach who we didn't know at first what kind of coach he would be when he was thrust into leadership. They are the team in the NBA. Right. So when I say to you the Knicks can't match this, don't take it as like the most insulting thing in the world. They're the best team on the planet.
Yeah, they have the right talent, well-constructed team, and a coach who knows how to get the best out of them. Oh, and by the way, they're the defending champion. So they know what it takes to get through the next 3-4 weeks of basketball and get to the post and get to the championship again. Whereas the Knicks don't. Right? It's just different. Experience matters, especially when you have star players that have that experience, as the Boston Celtics do.
The only thing, in my opinion, that will knock off the Boston Celtics are the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, injury.
Injuries, some other weirdness that we don't see coming.
It's not going to be coaching. It's not going to be that. It's going to be guys just not being available.
Right, which happens. I mean, that's the thing. That's why when you start focusing towards the offseason, it's crazy because so much weird crap can happen before we get to what feels like that inevitable second-round matchup between the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. If you're looking for the Yankees, they are wrapped up in a 0-0 game on the AM side. But coming up, a team was honored at Citi Field earlier today. Should they have been honored? I'll throw it at you coming up next. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. And so it's 0-0 in the top of the seventh. That game is on the AM side. Mets trying to rally against the Miami Marlins. They were being no hit until Francisco Lindor picked up a one-out single in the bottom of the sixth inning. They trail that game 2-0. So it's a matinee day of baseball. We keep you posted. Of course, we'll analyze it all once the games go final.
Aren't we Northeast people? Shouldn't these guys be able to hit in the cold?
Wow.
Four hits between our two teams.
We're Northeast people, but some of the guys are not from the Northeast.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know?
That's a very good point.
So tell me if you have an issue with this. In fact, I'm not even going to offer an opinion. I'm just going to leave it out for you guys to decide, and then maybe I'll offer an opinion. The Mets are playing a day game, like we mentioned, against the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Before the game, they decided to honor a team.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to honor St. John's. Mm-hmm. And so Zuby and Patino, and I think one other guy went out there, and they threw out first pitches to honor St. John's.
Three guys threw out first pitches?
I think it was three, yes.
Okay.
St. John's had a wonderful season.
Those strikes?
I don't know about the balls and strikes. Right. I cannot report on that. But St. John's had a wonderful season. They got knocked out the second round. Is that really throw out the first pitch, honor at Citi Field worthy?
I mean, I guess so, because it's been so long for St. John's. I mean, they won the Big East, and they were a 2-seed. I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes?
Yeah, it's early in the season. Yeah, just let people. I mean, I wonder how many people cared, though.
Sean, is that worthy of a, you know, hey, honor you and have you throw out the first pitch?
You're setting me up for an unintentional shot, but it's the truth. The Mets have so lowered the bar on these first pitches that, yes, I think the Big East champions, both regular season and the tournament, can throw out a first pitch.
Somehow you turn that into shade on the Mets.
I know.
Like, how did that happen?
No, because it's the truth, though. I mean, they're going to do much less deserving than St. John's this year, so how could I now cherry pick and say St. John's
is
deserving?
Were these your first words of the day?
Yes,
pretty much.
Yes, actually.
Pretty much. First words of the day. You're throwing shade.
I spoke plenty the last 4 days.
His voice needs a break. I can't believe that somehow turned into a shot at the Mets. Mm.
But am I wrong?
No.
The Rizzler just threw out the first pitch 3 days ago. Tiki, you missed that. I mean,
the Rizzler?
Yes.
The Rizzler.
And the Mets have a win streak within the Rizzler. More on that later.
Do you know who the Rizzler is?
No.
He's the really heavyweight kid that touches his face awkwardly. He's like a TikTok viral sensation.
I have zero idea what you're talking
about.
You know,
when the Rizzler threw out the first pitch, that was a game I brought Jet to, and I asked him, hey, is that cool that the Rizzler's throwing out the first pitch? He had no idea who he was.
Good for Jet.
So I thought as an 8-year-old, maybe he would be all over.
What's his content like?
I think he just touches his face a lot and sings. Doesn't he sing?
He joins the Costco guys from time to time.
Yeah, the boom guys, the bang, boom, boom guys. Tommy, do you think it was worthy of first pitch throwing to honor St. John's?
I think if you position it that St. John's won the regular season in the Big East and the Big East tournament, then yes.
Okay.
So I have no issue with it.
Yeah, I get it.
Does that make sense?
It's fine.
They had accomplishments this year.
They haven't been there in a lot of years. They haven't felt relevant in forever. So, yeah, it's fine.
After the 2000...
This was yesterday?
This was today.
Oh,
this was earlier today. After the 2005 season, you know, the Giants won 11 games. You guys had a wonderful year. You won the division that year. And obviously, you know, the playoffs didn't go very well. Would you want to be honored at Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium? Would you say, yeah, you know what? We won 11 games. We had a wonderful season. Or would you be like, no, we were outcoached and outplayed 23-0 by the Panthers. I don't want to be honored. Good question,
it's
just, right?
It's kind of a marketing thing, though. So you want to get the Giant fan interested in this particular Met game. You want to get the St. John fan interested in this particular Met game. I get it. It's fine.
So approval.
Maybe you sell a couple extra tickets, make some few more shekels.
I get you. So it's a St. John's marketing ploy.
Yes.
100%. I'll buy that.
And John Franco caught it, right?
I think John was involved. John is a big St. John's guy. Ben Rice in the leadoff spot for the third time this season hit a 2-run home run in the top of the seventh inning. So the Yankee bats, who had been scoreless for how many straight innings, if you want to count it up?
Yeah.
What was their scoreless streak until Ben hit a 2-run home run?
Give me a second to count.
Can you math that up for us? He broke the scoreless tie with a 2-run bomb, so the Yankees are up 2-0, bottom of the seventh inning. Like I mentioned, Max Fried's been brilliant, and he's got a very reasonable pitch count. 6 scoreless innings and a pitch count of 80, so there'd be no excuse, I don't care how cold it is, for Fried to not come back out and pitch the bottom of the seventh inning, nursing this 2-run lead. Let's go to Scott.
16, by the way. 16.
16 scoreless. Wow. Let's go to Scott in Rockaway. How are you, Scott?
Good, Evan. Thank you for asking, buddy. You know, I just want to let you boys know my wife and I are expecting our first child in October.
No, nice. So congratulations.
Thanks, guys. This does, you know, tie in a little bit here. We're notoriously both sides, you know, big babies, man. We're real nervous. So, you know, Evan, I was wondering, what does your wife use to push you in? What stroll is it? The Nuna, the Alpha Baby?
Well, what have I done to be baby-worthy today?
Oh, no, not today. That's what they asked me.
Oh, just in general. Oh, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, just a big red baby, that's all.
Ah, nice. By the way, can't dispute that.
Can't dispute that. Babies are cool. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I've had so many babies. I don't even remember which strollers we used.
Yeah. I'm a baby.
Yeah.
No, I am a baby. I don't mind that. A big red baby. A big red hairy baby. But today I've been very mature. Today I've been the mature one because I'm the one trying to convince Knick fans, hey, don't get too crazy about regular season basketball. I've been saying that for months, actually. I don't think I've ever been more consistent on an issue than I've been about that. The one thing I have evolved on, and I remember this, but it was brought to my attention with many, many old tweets that I issued over the years. I used to hate fouling up three. In fact, I once got into a loud argument with Lawrence Frank at a bowling alley about fouling up three. That's right. I know that sounds pretty random. But I didn't like his strategy. And Lawrence, who's such a, what a good dude he was. I mean, you talk about a guy who was a good sport. I called for his firing like 150 times, and he was always such a good dude.
And he still would sit down and talk to you face to face.
He got it, man. Oh. You know what I mean? He understood. I'm a fan. I'm all around. Like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? But Lawrence and I would always argue about this. And I don't know if it was him or if it was just the game evolved. Like, the game evolved in a way in which
Or maybe he was always right.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, like, I don't understand how you could not be right now, but not then.
Great question, Tiki. I'll tell you why. The Steph Curry revolution in the NBA. Making threes. The amount of threes. Mm. The percentage of threes. The amount of, like, insane threes have grown at an incredible rate over the last decade, where in 2011... the idea of hitting a game-tying three was just less likelier than it is now. Like, some of the logo threes we see today, you didn't see it 10 years ago.
No.
Just a different world. And that's my reasoning. And that's why I haven't changed. The league changed.
I can still see that. But at the end of the day, preventing someone from attempting a three when you're up three is still good for you.
In theory, you're right. But my point was you're extending the game. And when you're trailing, you're trying to extend it.
Yeah, when you're leading, you're trying to shorten the game.
I'm trying to end the game. But look, the league has changed in a way in which that Jason Tatum three surprised nobody.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. It's just a different world. Let's go to Ted down in Houston. How are you, Ted?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Great show. Listen all the time.
Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, with Brunson being out, it seems to me that the Knicks have enough scoring, and I think they ought to trade Cat in the offseason for somebody.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
They just got him. They just got him.
But we got enough scoring. How many defensive liabilities are you going to have on the floor?
Yeah, that's a challenge.
That's the big caveat you have, and I think the overriding biggest issue the Knicks have. Knicks have two big issues, in my opinion. One is, I don't trust this head coach in a big spot, and history has backed me up on that. And the second is, their two best players are defensive liabilities.
Right.
And he's right about that.
And it's why their defensive rating for those, how was it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks that Jalen Brunson was out and banged up? It got better.
Yeah.
Because Deuce is just a better defender.
No, he's not the score he is.
No, of course not. But you had Cat, so it kind of you didn't miss that much. Now you miss his leadership. You miss Jalen Brunson being a playmaker when you need a playmaker. But defensively, you know, you wonder what's the advantage? Like, would you rather have a defensive advantage against the Boston Celtics to try to match them bucket for bucket?
Well, the problem with a defensive advantage on the Boston Celtics was I have to defend Mikal Bridges slightly. Mikal's taken a lot of heat last night and today because of the dropped pass, if you will. But Mikal Bridges defended Jason Tatum as tightly as you could.
All right. That's what he was brought here for.
That's right. The problem was Jason Tatum, and this is one of those moments, I know you hate to do it, but it's one of those moments where you just have to tip your hat because he was making shots that were not human last night.
But he's always been that way.
No, I agree. That's what makes him a freak. It makes him one of the top five players in the league. He's incredible. In fact, in a few minutes, I have to play you a clip from last night that actually cracked me up because it was in the midst of this when Jason Tatum was doing whatever he wanted, no matter how tightly Mikal Bridges defended him. And Reggie Miller had like the oddest one-liner about Tatum versus Bridges. In fact, would you like to hear that now?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Tommy, can you...
We're talking about it. Let's hear it.
Yeah, can you cue up the clip of Reggie Miller and his call on Jason Tatum? This was mid-fourth quarter. Bridges is doing everything he can. Like, I am defending him. And at this point, Tatum makes a Durant-like one-footer, okay, over Bridges. And Reggie Miller's analysis, I don't know why, was so weird, it cracked me up. Ladies and gentlemen, Reggie Miller.
With a fadeaway.
Oh, that's not right.
Can he cut
Tatum? That's not right.
Wow.
It's almost child abuse at this point. They need to stop it.
26 points for Jason Tatum.
It's almost child abuse at this point. You have to stop it. Almost like, can you arrest Jason Tatum? Because what he's doing to Mikal Bridges is dirty. Like, I don't know why that call cracks me up so much.
Child abuse. I don't know if I would have used that.
Oh, you don't think that was politically correct?
No, well, I mean, it is. Whatever. But
I don't mean to get Reggie in trouble here. It just shows. I was watching the game with my wife. My kids are sleeping. I'm actually telling her, yeah, Knicks, Celtics.
I'm trying to think of a better way that's just not offensive to say that.
Yeah, can you think of one?
Abuse is fine.
Just go abuse?
Just don't say child abuse.
Yeah, Mikal's not a child.
Exactly.
Can you play that
one more time?
Might
be, they're probably the same age, right? Or close to it.
Yeah. No, I'd actually argue Mikal's older.
I think you're probably right. You think about it when he was at Villanova. Yeah. Definitely he's older.
I think Bridges is 28, if I had to guess, and Tatum's 26 or 27.
Maybe call the NYPD. This is some kind of physical abuse or something like that. I don't know. They think child abuse?
Child abuse.
Come on, Rich.
Like he's a child.
Nobody wants to think about that.
Jason Tatum, by the way, is 27 years old. He just turned 27 mm-hmm. years old. And Mikal Bridges is 28. So Bridges is a year and a half older. One more time, in case you want to hear Reggie Miller say something awkward.
With a fadeaway.
Oh, that's not right.
Tatum.
That's not right.
Wow.
It's almost child abuse at this point. They need to stop it.
26 points for Jason Tatum.
I think they need to stop it, actually. Like,
right. That's what almost makes it worse.
Like, they got to stop this. This is disgusting what's happening out there. But then when OG was on him, OG did a tremendous job. Like, as much as we've ripped OG for the decision to not foul Tatum, I thought he defended Tatum as well as anybody did. But it's tough. I mean, Jason Tatum's an undefendable player.
Right.
That's what really adds to the challenge of it.
KD in his prime, but he's close.
He reminds you of them. He reminds you of him. I mean, that one legger that he hits does remind you of Kevin Durant. He's got some Durant in him. And what's scary about Boston is, remember last year when they won in the NBA Finals, he wasn't the Finals MVP.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown was.
Yeah.
And Jaylen Brown didn't even play the fourth quarter last night. And somehow Tommy was encouraged by last night.
It's because he's Colonel Jessup right now.
Well, hold on. You've made it very clear that the Celtics are the best team in the NBA, and it's not even close, right?
Yes.
Would one player make the difference?
I think it doesn't make the difference.
And Brown is great. I actually think he's better than Tatum or more important to the team in a lot of ways.
He's not better than Tatum.
He's a tremendous player. If you gave me the choice of Brown or Tatum, I would take Brown.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that? Because of the leadership?
Physical, the defense, and I think at times, although he's changed this, Tatum is a little passive. Kind of like
there have been moments,
and I think Brown is just unguardable. Now Tatum has kind of, you know, gotten a lot better at that, but right. I still would take Brown.
I will say this: they are unbeatable if he is healthy. I really believe that. Whether it's the Thunder or it's Cleveland or it's your team who's not on that level, I don't think anybody's beating him. And it pains me to say that. It's not like I like the Boston Celtics. Yeah. You think I want to see Boston win another NBA championship?
Can't take it anymore. I really can't either. It's enough.
I can't wait for Kenny Atkinson and Donovan Mitchell to do their best to knock him off in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's go to Verona in Atlanta. Oh, I'm sorry, Verona. Let's go to Vernon in Atlanta, Georgia. My apologies, Vernon. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Vernon?
Later, happy birthday to my number two running back in Giant history.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
Tiki
you.
Tiki Barber.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, Tiki, before I get on my subject, right, go back and listen to the 2 days or 3 days you was off and see how Sean played eight sides of the fifth, all right? But anyway,
you was talking out of both sides of your mouth, Sean?
I guess I was, according to
him. Oh, man. He was selling us out. I'm just leaving right there. I'll let you listen to the show.
I will.
But anyway, Evan.
Yeah.
Why every time one of my teams, the Knicks, Yankees, or the Giants, do something, your next show is always about them? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to start calling you Client Evan. I'm gonna make some t-shirts up. Crying, Evan. But you crying, man.
What am I crying about?
You know?
Not my problem.
He's trying to, he's trying to just bring awareness so we can give him love.
Evan.
Yes.
My podcast community got a nickname for you.
What's that?
Right? I turned them on to Odyssey and SNY, right?
Nice.
And they see you every day, right?
Yeah.
So the nickname this young lady from Staten Island, your place you don't like.
Yeah.
You know what she calls you?
What?
Pickle nose.
What? Pickle nose?
Pickle nose.
Pickle nose.
Pickle nose.
That's not nice.
That's your nickname on my podcast.
Of all the things that I thought my nickname could be, I was not going for the nose.
What's the deal with that?
Is it a classic or is it
Dilly? That's a good one, Sean.
That is a good one.
The Dilly on Ebbing.
That's very funny.
Thank you, Vernon.
Look at that.
Well, thank you, Vernon. Pickle nose. By the way, it is 3:05, a very important time on Evan and Tiki, because it is now decision time.
Mm-hmm.
And you may wonder what that decision is. I'm about to tell you the decision for those that missed it. But first, you are listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. So, as you know, Teak, Tommy Lugauer and Sean Morash made a bet before the season started. It actually took a while before they formally made the bet.
Yes, because Sean was scared.
He was scared. And that was a bet on which Garden team.
Sean was
team.
Also right.
Okay. Which Garden team would go further in this season? The New York Knicks or the New York Rangers? This is a traditional bet here on Evan and Tiki. They did it last year, and the loser has to dress up as the trophy of the other sports champion. So last year, because the Rangers advanced further than the Knicks, we all recall that Tommy Lugauer, as the loser, had to dress up as the Stanley Cup. And he did that at a public event when we did our kickoff the summer show at DJ's in New Jersey last year. He paid his dues. And it worked out. The rematch was signed on for earlier this year. Who will go further, the New York Rangers or the New York Knicks?
Took a lot of cohesing.
Took some coercions. And Sean finally agreed to it. In fact, Sean went all the way and thought the Rangers were going to win the Stanley Cup. Mm. Yesterday on the show, if you missed it during the open, Sean went scorched earth on the Rangers. He has given up. They are clearly not going to make the postseason. The Knicks are. And so there has been a formal concession that the New York Knicks are going further than the New York Rangers.
You quit already?
Well, no. They quit, and as a result, I had to admit they quit.
Yeah. He's just calling it like it is, Teak. It's over.
Is it technically over?
As technically over as technically over can be without the E next to their name.
But they're not E yet. I'm just looking.
Okay, Teak. It's not official yet, but it's over. So
somebody's walking with a gas can along the highway because they can't even make it to the station.
Michigan is still too close to call. Sean called me last night at 3 a.m. to concede.
Yeah, it's over. So Sean has to dress up as the Larry O'Brien trophy to pay his dues.
Okay.
And yesterday on the program, we talked about the different options that Sean had on where he could dress up.
All right, let's hear it.
I'll repeat those options for you. One is tomorrow night at the Islander Ranger game.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki does not like that idea. Another option is at a random Mets or Yankees game.
Random?
Another option is at a Knicks playoff game. I would actually take him to a Knicks playoff game, and you have to sit there dressed as Larry O'Brien.
Next to Tommy?
No, Tommy wouldn't go next to me.
Why?
I mean, because I only have two tickets.
If Tommy, but don't you have to give the ticket to Tommy so Tommy can go?
Tiki, I need to give you a quick timeout just to catch up on something. Tommy is on a big-time streak of like 5 straight times telling Evan no thanks to tickets. This has continued big time while you're away.
Even while I was away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy,
yeah. Yeah, so he's kind of in a ticket timeout, if you will. And then the last option is...
I tried for you, Tommy.
He did. Our last option is we are going to do a very special, it's actually 2 weeks from tomorrow, a very special live show at American Dream before the NFL draft.
That's it. You don't have to, that's it.
So your decision, Tiki, is
American
what?
Dream.
American Dream?
American Dream.
All right, it is now official.
Hold on.
American Dream.
Hold on.
You got to, dude. It's our spot.
It's like our home away from home, the American Dream.
I am so looking forward to seeing everybody out. Please come out, watch the show ahead of the draft. Giants fans, Jets fans alike. I think that's going to be a great night, and I'm not saying no to doing this because I have no say. I just want to just give you one voice
of
complaint.
Let's hear it.
If we're going for this,
mm-hmm.
The top of the Larry O'Brien trophy, of course, as we all know, is a ball. I was under the assumption, my head, since it's bald, becomes the ball. And if that's going to be the case...
So you don't want to wear a basketball head the whole time.
Well, it's not that. If it becomes like face painty all around the head, I'm just very worried about the wash-off situation at American Dream. That's all I'm saying.
Why do you got to wash it off?
I'm going to sit there after. I plan on watching the draft with Loogie wherever we are. I'm going to sit there with my head painted gold until midnight.
I mean, that's your decision. Be gold till midnight.
Be gold till midnight.
Man, you have no sympathy with this trip.
None.
Huh?
That is the perfect place to do it. I mean, this is a no-brainer. And I, like we said yesterday, it's Tiki's decision. His first big decision upon coming back. This and he didn't even let me finish.
This
he knew it.
Easy one.
We forgot one other thing, Tiki.
What's that?
We figured Google image search what the Larry O'Brien trophy looks like. Any interest in your kids and wife cooking up the costume?
Oh, yeah.
That's the other option. They're going to need their help.
Can the barbers take care of that?
I'm sure that they can. Tracy's a master.
And maybe they'll come out and dress you up, Sean. It's
whatever,
in New Jersey. It's an American Dream. I think that is the perfect answer. It's an event that everybody can come to free of charge. So come hang out and take pictures with the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Oh, yeah, they could definitely do this.
All right, cool. Then we're in agreement.
And I guess you'll like this part, Sean. What's really special about this is clearly this is the closest Knicks fans will come to the Larry O'Brien trophy.
You are such a
so
hater,
they
Evan.
May as well come
out. Evan, come on.
I'm glad you said that, Evan.
Why did you have to go there?
I'm glad you said that. So we agreed that Sean has to dress up like the Larry O'Brien trophy at our show at the American Dream night one of the NFL draft.
Yes.
If the Knicks win the NBA title, he's got to dress like it at the parade as well. And I would have done the same if the Rangers had won the cup last year.
So you're saying that Sean would also have to wear it at the Knicks championship parade? Can I have a private conversation with Sean?
Sure.
We know it's not happening.
Sean,
I'll agree to it.
Come
yeah,
on,
I understand.
There's a better chance of seeing Sasquatch.
So then agree to it.
Evan, I will agree to it because I know there's a 0.000 chance that happens.
I'll probably 0.01.
Yeah.
And that's with all eight teams plus attrition.
Right. I'll even throw this in for you, Sean. I'll join you. I'll dress as the trophy's boyfriend. It's totally fine.
All right, weird, but okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll be dueling trophies, going on a date at the Knicks parade. No problem. Well done. So, yeah, we'll see two Thursdays from now, American Dream NFL Draft. Take a picture with the Larry O'Brien trophy. Speaking of the NFL Draft, should we truly believe that Shedeur Sanders is falling as far as he's falling? We'll get Tiki's view on it. Plus, I was won over by Shedeur Sanders over the weekend. I'll explain why. And, of course, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. As soon as the Yankees and or Mets go final, we'll give you some instant reaction to that. Yankees are currently on the AM side. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Contractors, get what you need to get the job done. Come to Windorama. They keep a huge supply of Anderson windows, patio doors, and storm doors in many sizes in stock at their distribution center for pickup or quick delivery. Windorama is proud to feature Anderson.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.